This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr, and suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
What? Are we on?
Yes, you're on.
I can't hear anything.
You can hear me.
No, I can't. Not through my headphones. I can hear the music.
I knew this was going to be a tough 2 hours.
Now I got you now.
I knew it was going to be a tough 2 hours.
I got you now. All right. Little technical stuff to start out the week. We're not executing as well as the Patriots did on Monday night.
We're sluggish.
Okay.
We're more of the Vikings.
It is PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. And we're all jacked up.
Yep.
All jacked up. Monday night win, 31-7 over the Vikings. It was supposed to be close. We were all wrong. Once again, we underestimate these New England Patriots.
And we overestimated Brad Childress's ability to coach.
Well, that's true.
And we'll get into that.
But certainly, we all thought that the Patriots would score their share of points.
And throw the football.
So we were right there.
But apparently the Vikings did not know this.
Right. We thought that the Vikings would keep up, although lose, which they did. But we thought that they'd score their share of points.
But it goes back to my point. NFC, AFC. And I mentioned to Andy before the game, I said, Jacksonville went on the road and physically dominated Philly. Baltimore went on the road, destroyed New Orleans. And I said, why would we think tonight's game is going to be any different? You saw the AFC dominance this week.
Yeah.
And listen, this weekend is like the Super Bowl, like the Colts and the Patriots.
It might as well be.
Because I believe the AFC Championship game is the Super Bowl, and this could be the AFC Championship game.
It might as well be. Well, we're jacked up. Unbelievable energy, excitement, electricity here at Gillette Stadium.
Except that Bill Belichick's press conference.
Well, we'll talk about that, but, I mean, we got a lot to talk about. A ton of emails are already in. Thank you. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number 508-543-7482. It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. It's a short week because of the Monday night game. But as always, Wednesday's the big media day. Bill Belichick had his press conference. Tom Brady had his press conference. You can get those on Patriots.com. I think as we're speaking, Adam Vinatieri's on the phone talking to the media. We'll have the archive of that audio up on the website soon.
Who else is called?
Peyton Manning?
No, they're not having it. Are you bored with the Vinatieri? Here's my point. I understand the beat writers have to do it. They have to do the Vinatieri angle. But to me, this is 6-1 Patriots, 7-0 Colts, Manning, Brady, Sunday Night Football doesn't get any bigger. You know what? The story for me is if Vinatieri makes a kick at the end of the game, then it's a story. Right now, I just don't care.
What I mean, Vinatieri, Bill Polian, all that is what we call in the business subplot.
No, I know.
Okay.
And that's what I use that word in my it was a subplot, but
sure.
I'm just saying I hope this week doesn't get dominated by, hey, Adam's coming back. You know what? There's two pretty good football teams going to be on that field Sunday night.
Well, don't talk to me.
I'm sure the Patriots would rather have that that way, and so would the Colts. But, you know, they would not want to have the focus on Vinatieri. They want to have the focus on the team as a whole, as do the Patriots. But we're going to talk about anything you want to talk about here in PFW in Progress. Again, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. By the way, Tom, wherever the piece of paper exists that you can sign to get Minnesota a new stadium, put my signature
on it.
Oh,
yeah.
A one-person bathroom in a press room full of sports writers eating meatballs and chicken fingers?
Yeah.
Not good.
And I don't want people out there to think we're spoiled, but it's 2006. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to get up to date a little bit.
Who farted?
That was a pretty bad place.
Yeah.
Nice game to watch the game because we could see everything in the dome, but as far as everything else, bad.
But you can see how loud that place could be.
Yeah, it got loud for a good 4 minutes.
Yeah, but the Patriots, man.
I'll tell you why. After Corey Dillon lost the 8 yards, that's the loudest it was all night because the Vikings were actually still in the game.
Yeah.
And the Weldy Moore punt return. Those two times it was loud, but the Patriots pretty much quieted them
but
from
there
on in.
It was late third quarter or early fourth quarter. Patriots were like third and something in the red zone, and you couldn't even hear the fans. And I just turned to the person next to me and go, fans have given up.
Oh, yeah.
Which they had.
Well, you had to.
Yeah.
If the team's going to play like that, how can
but
you
that's
cheer?
What you need to do on the road. You need to take the fans out of the
they
game.
They did exactly what you need to do.
And that's what they did. They, you know, the one time, you know, they had a chance, you know, like you said, with the Moore punt return,
Maroney offset
Maroney
it.
Maroney just offset it right away, and that was it.
You ever think that Belichick, like behind closed doors, says, there's only like two other good coaches besides me. Everyone else is stupid. If I study the film, if I study their schemes, I'll find why they're stupid and then take advantage of that stupidity.
Well, I'm not sure he phrases it like that.
But I will say,
this is a guy who, you know, all these guys, I'll say, I'd be surprised if any of them didn't, but all these guys grew up playing football. But Bill Belichick grew up analyzing football. As a young kid, he sat with his dad watching film, you know, discussing tendencies, you know, all patterns and all that stuff. You know, if he wasn't doing this, he'd be a good code breaker for the national security, you know, breaking code based on, you know, info that he has. It's that analytical to him. And it's not just, oh, this is what these players do and what their scheme is. He studies the history of a coach and what that coach has done throughout his career. And, you know, we got privy, Brian Morey and myself, we got privy to a midweek speech that Belichick once gave to the players. And I forget who they were playing and what coach it was. But in front of the players, he told these players, okay, here's the coach we're going to be going up against. He's been coaching the NFL for X amount of years. Prior to that, he was with, you know, this college program. He's always run this kind of offense. In 1978, he changed. He started. I mean, he laid it out for the players.
Right.
This whole dossier of this one coach. And, you know, the players knew what to expect.
Well,
it's incredible.
They knew what to expect on Monday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought it was embarrassing that the Vikings didn't change at all throughout the game. And Brad Childress told me after the game that, well, this is what we do, and we've had success doing it this year. I understand this, Brad, but Tom Brady had 272 yards or whatever, or 74 yards at the half. Try something else. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you would think you would just – are you telling me the Vikings aren't prepared to do anything different? You know what I mean?
Whether prepared or whether they just can't because of their personnel,
But, Fred, listen. Everybody has personnel for nickel and dime packages. The Patriots were running five wides, and they had three linebackers on the field. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing. No, you can't get away with that if you're the Broncos with their quick linebackers.
Maybe they were just so stubborn, Tom, and they said, look, no matter what, we're keeping in our base defense, our three linebackers, because we're not going to allow Lawrence Maroney to have a big game.
And you know what? Maybe that's what Bill saw on the tape.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe that's why they were so loose last week. Maybe they knew that.
So, you know, coming out of this game, Minnesota can keep their number one ranking in rush defense. Mm-hmm. Fine. It just goes to show you how these stats are ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have to look at the context of each game, who they played, what was the situation. And you know, so often there's a team that is in the top of the stat in one category. And the reason for that is because they're in the bottom of the stats in another category.
The Colts are like third or fourth in pass defense. but that's because everybody's too busy running the ball.
Exactly.
So no one's really, who cares if you're not going to throw it if you're getting 20 yards a rush.
That's why I get so frustrated with Pop Perillo when he starts throwing these stats at me, and he refuses to look at the big picture that, you know, you can make stats do anything you want for you, but you got to look at the context of who they played, what the situation was, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, great win for the Patriots.
Yep, defense didn't give up a touchdown.
But once again, you know, they've gone from 17 points, and they keep going down.
Right. See, the offense, I think they played well, but I think some of the blame has to be placed on the Vikings and their coaching staff for not adjusting at all. Defensively, there was nothing they could do.
Right.
The Patriots' defense dominate them. Pro Bowler McKinney there should sit under the overrated tarp with Roy Williams because he's getting beaten like a drum by Tully Bantakane.
Well, and I thought, you know, you're right. I thought it was just a great team win as far as the defense goes. Once again, Rodney Harrison has an interception in the red zone where most of his come. I thought as far as the offensive line, I was very impressed with the offensive line. I think it was Matt Light's best game of the season.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I was sitting there at the airport when we were getting ready to get on the plane, and I was just looking around, and I was, like, looking at all the players they have. And I saw Vrabel and Bruschi and Harrison and Will Fork and Warren and Seymour and Brady and Maroney. And, you know, we kind of dissect the team all the time, so we have to bring up
Ray, Hannah, Francis, Stingley, Vataha.
We have to bring up, you know, some of the negative things with the team. But I got to thinking, and I thought, does any team in the NFL have that many good players on it? You know, when you think about it, like we're saying, like, well, they don't got great receivers. But when you look at the core of the team.
That's right.
Does any other team, because I went through my mind and I couldn't think of one. The Colts don't. The Colts don't have as many good, solid players. Maybe they're getting a little older.
There was a while the Eagles could compete there.
Yeah.
But they never really had they didn't have a running back. They had Westbrook, who's kind of like, I don't know what he is. And the receivers were never, I mean, when Owens was on the team.
But, you know, in today's football, everyone has weaknesses.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Patriots' core players, I don't know if anyone else in football has as good a group
as
they do.
And it's the type of players. Again, it goes back to what you were saying and, you know, the question of why didn't Minnesota change up? You know, maybe they're built to be the type of team they are, but the Patriots aren't built to be any one type of team. They'll play a 4-3, a 3-4. They'll play two linemen. They'll play, you know, zero blitz.
But I think if you're building to be one type of team, then the coach and GM aren't going to be around long, because there's a lot of teams that, I mean, I've seen teams get beat pretty bad, but they start off playing zone, then they at least try to blitz and do something else. They're at least changing it up, trying to switch it up, but the Vikings did nothing.
Well, I'll give you an example. There are some teams that, in the history, I'm not so much anymore, but there were some teams that were just so damn good at what they did, they didn't need to switch up.
No, they didn't.
You know, the 85 Bears, the Steelers, they were a type of team that came in, they played their game, and they just dared to
beat. Well, I'll give you an example of that.
It's hard to
do
that now.
The Colts offense.
Yeah.
They do what they do, and they say, I mean, Bill said it today, that they run, they do what they do, and that's, they tell you to stop it.
And their personnel's so good that they can do that, but in order to be that way on offense, they sacrifice on defense. And that's your point, I think. It's hard to have just a type of team where no matter where you go, they've got a good core of players, and those players allow you to do different things depending on your opponent.
But as far as
then you add a coach like Belichick, who's the best game plan coach probably in the history of football, and it's a championship combination.
But in the Vikings, I mean, he said to me, Childress, you can live by the sword or die by the sword, meaning you can die quickly or, you know, they can drive. But, you know, this guy's going 9 for 9, Childress. Do something. I root for the Patriots to win, but also I get aggravated when I see poor coaching really aggravates me.
It's hard to believe that somewhere in some practice at some time between now and last July, they never went over anything except what they were doing with that Tampa 2.
Right. Now, listen, when Brady gets in those grooves, he's almost impossible to stop. My only point would be just try something else, because what you're doing, he can go all night with that. He was carving them up like a turkey. You know what I mean? So you might want to do something else. And the other point I wanted to make is they pay Fred Smoot and Antoine Winfield all this money. You know, they're two of the highest paid corners in football. You got him 15 yards off receivers. Well, hell, cut them and just sign a couple of guys for the minimum wage if you want to do that. You know what I'm saying? You're taking away, that's your strength of your team, is Sharper, Smoot, Winfield, and they're playing that far back. Waste of talent,
and,
in
you
my
know,
opinion.
With that type of defense, you know, obviously you're expecting to keep everything in front of you, make the team work its way downfield,
yeah.
Hope you can eventually come up with a turnover or they make a mistake. But still, even with that type of coverage, Brady was still successful with the moderate to deep pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was still
right.
able to find Watson, you know, down the seam, Gabriel, you know, for some long passes, even though Minnesota was playing a conservative defense to try to keep things in front of them.
And it was still, like, in that type of defense, sometimes a guy will catch the ball and there'll be two guys there waiting for him. Like, they'll
right.
give up the yards, like you
yeah.
said. It, against the Vikings, there was no one there.
Yeah. No,
and one of those passes that Caldwell caught, where he fell down, he got up, there wasn't anyone within 20 yards of him.
Yeah, it's it was pretty amazing, you know. And
but I just think the AFC has the better coaches, the better players, and the NFC... I mean, they'd have to get lucky to win a Super Bowl this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the way it used to be with the NFC.
Yeah, it just switched around.
It switched around. All right, webradio@patriots.com is email address. Today's Wednesday, as I mentioned, Belichick had his press conference. Tom, you said you were...
Bad week to be a beat writer.
Bad week to be a... Why is that?
All business.
Really?
Wasn't playing along. He wouldn't even answer Mike Reese's question.
He didn't
question.
Have any Tony La Russa shirts on or...
He shot down Mike Reese.
You're kidding me.
Now, that's news. I mean, he wasn't nothing. He didn't want it. No. I think he was doing it today basically because he knew what was going to happen, the Vinatieri questions, and he didn't want any part of it. Tomasi kept every kind of way he could asking him about Vinatieri, and he just, I mean.
It's so ridiculous.
He didn't want nothing to do with anything. If you were looking for Bill Belichick quotes for a story you're writing today, good luck.
Now, was there anyone writing any... or asking any neutral football questions, and how did he react to that?
He wasn't answering anything.
Really? Even from the PFW guys?
Well, we didn't ask anything.
Oh, you didn't?
No, because I told you, I'm writing a feature story that doesn't need quotes, thank God. And the other guys are waiting until tomorrow until he cools off a little bit. You can kind of tell, like, from the first two answers he gives in a press conference, if you should try today or maybe wait till tomorrow. This was one of those days, if you didn't need to have a story out today, wait till tomorrow, because he wasn't having any of it. Then we went in the locker room, and of course everyone had to lift.
Right.
And it's one of those weeks. Remember last week they were loose, they were playing games
right,
in the locker
right.
room. Not this week. This reminds me of the first week I was here, the Steelers game. They came off the loss to Carolina. They were all business. No one was joking around. That's how they are this week. No one's yeah. laughing. No one's kidding around. It's all business.
Well, I guess as Patriots fans, we look at that as a good sign. That, you know, not that they didn't take the Vikings seriously,
but I think they knew that they could. They knew already that they what they could do to the Vikings.
Yeah,
I think before
yeah.
we did.
Yeah.
And the Colts, they know obviously is going to be a much tougher test,
especially for the defense.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it. I think the offense should be able to produce in this game.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're jacked up. It's Sunday Night Football, which of course is now the bigger game, the biggest.
Let's
game.
Get jacked up for this one.
I'll say the Cowboys-Giants game broke the cable record a couple weeks ago. I say this is the most watched football game ever, not counting Super Bowl. I mean, regular season
wow.
game. Most watched regular season game ever.
That's
Look
awesome.
At it this way. It was the most watched game last year, and the
right.
Patriots weren't even good.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine how many people are going to watch the game now? The 6-1, 7-0, Manning, Brady, Vinatieri. I mean, it's all over the place.
Gary, you excited? Gary doesn't even have a microphone. I don't know what happened. He's got like a piece of wire dangling in front of his head with no mic attached. I just wanted to know if Gary had anything special. You know, I'm so danged excited, I'm almost wetting my pants. There you go. You know, plan for the pregame or anything. Any reason why fans should be sure to be here early?
Well,
on
you want to be here early so you can get in. This is going to be a mob,
yeah.
mob scene on Sunday night.
This is great stuff. You know, week eight, you know, or game eight. Week 9, actually, of the season. But, you know, here we are, playoff atmosphere. The two best quarterbacks in the NFL, it's the way it should be. You know, the winner of this game at the halfway point has the number one seed.
It's the best team in
it's
football.
It's the best team in football. Now, Denver will probably argue with that, although they have two wins, that they've beaten the Patriots. Let's say the Patriots win this game.
That doesn't matter, though. It's all about how you're playing at a certain time. Denver's a good football team. The Chargers are a good football team. But right now... It's the Colts and the Patriots. Whoever wins this game, it'll be considered the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, I'm excited. This is good.
Now, obviously, if you're a Patriot fan, you don't particularly want to see Denver in the playoffs because they've given us trouble in the past.
Right. I had to change my panties.
I don't think you can call them a better team overall just because it's a matchup problem.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com. We're all jacked up here. So no one was available in the locker room?
There was a couple of guys.
It was like Vrabel there?
They threw out the tokens.
Right.
They threw out Vrabel and Hobbs and Seymour were there.
Yeah.
But like if no receivers, no hardly any defensive backs, it was a quiet, quiet day down there.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Just in case anyone isn't up on the news, the new sod is down in the field, so they won't be playing in the dirt pit that they have so far this year. The game plan movie is done. I think
I saw the end of the movie, if anyone wants to know.
No.
Well, it's not that good.
Who's that? Brian Morey. Brian, get your butt in here. Holy
You're
mackerel.
So full of it.
We've got a guest here. How did you get down here?
Don't change the subject. Answer the question.
You got to press the red button, Brian. This
new stuff
we're high-tech now. Brian Morey. How are you doing?
Because if there was some kind of, I don't know.
What's the matter?
I have to take this mic flag off this mic.
Are you filming this?
I can't be talking into this.
Are you filming this?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Freddie, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good.
We've missed you.
I felt bad for Tommy. He had to do the show with you today, so I figured I'd stop by.
Tom and I are the A-team.
There's so many A-teams around here.
Well, anyone who's down here says they're the A-team.
Of course they do.
Yeah, you got to put on your headphones, too.
Sorry.
How's it going?
Not long. You're still on radio.
Now, you're with the Score 790.
Which can be heard online at scoreamfm.com.
Streaming it out now?
That's right.
That's good.
Just told my coworker.
And you have the 4-7 show?
3-7.
3-7 along with
Scott Cordisci.
Scott Cordisci.
That's correct.
And how are things going? You talking any football?
Quite a bit, actually, yeah.
And when he can take your center and just
when you're not talking,
him.
You know, URI football or Providence College basketball, you
We don't really talk much URI football, Fred.
No?
It's mostly Patriots football. I mean...
You're off the Rams?
I know you've been away. You haven't heard. I don't know. I don't shine shoes no more.
You don't shine shoes no more? First of all, thanks for coming on.
Okay, you're welcome. Wanted to come by and say hi. I heard you were going to be down here. If Mark Briggs knew, I'm sure I would be escorted out of the building.
That's all right. You got your media pass on.
I just saw him, too, so you better be careful.
Yeah. No, he usually catches me where I'm not supposed to be.
Now, you saw the game, I assume.
I did see the game.
What are you thinking? Because you're usually very slow to get on the bandwagon.
I was very impressed.
That's not what I heard.
Thank you very much.
That's not what I heard.
No, not Bill Belichick. I'm talking about the team itself.
Oh.
You can't listen to Paul and Andy. They just react to what everybody else does.
That's exactly right.
No, I thought it was a very impressive win, Fred. What else is there? I mean, they crushed them. I mean, they came out. Minnesota made no adjustments to what they were doing, didn't try to bring any pressure, and they just had their way.
Yeah. What do you think that means for the game coming up Sunday night?
I actually subscribe, Fred, to the theory that one week has nothing to do with the next.
Oh.
So,
well, that's
Brian Cox
true.
Once told me that, and you know, I think that was pretty obvious. And
it's all about matchups.
And so I thought going to that game, I mean, that game played out completely differently than I thought it would, and, you know, I guess I'm guilty like most people were. I think I gave way too much credit to what the Vikings defense had done through the first six games, but, you know, and it was encouraging to see the Patriots be able to come out and have some success throwing the football like that, and as long as they're able to provide that type of pass protection, or a team is unable to generate any consistent pressure on Tom Brady, you know, I could see them having that kind of success. But, you know, if there's any sort of pressure, if a team is, you know, with a little bit better pass rush than what the Vikings have, and I think they came into that game with 15 sacks in six games.
And their defensive ends only had like 4.5 of those sacks.
Yeah.
Their defensive ends are the weak part of that defense. And if you're the Patriots offensive line, you'd prefer that a defensive line be better in the middle.
Right.
Because that's where they're stronger. And they don't have that quick Dwight Freeney, Aaron Schobel type of pass rusher, and you could see it.
Right.
And
I agree. And so, you know, I guess maybe I did give too much credit to the Vikings defense coming into the game. But that said, I thought Minnesota was a pretty good team. Their quarterback is what he is. You know, it's not like he's some explosive quarterback who picks your part. I think he's patient. He takes what's there. And he had a very hard time. I mean, let's face it, that guy's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of defenses. And he had a very tough time finding a place to go with the football on Sunday. And, you know, I think he was 20 of 33. But I think after the game, it was the type of situation where you look and you say, boy, he was 20 of 33 in that game? Didn't seem like he was that efficient in terms of completion percentage.
There was one part, it was in the first half, they got the ball, I think, at the Patriots 45.
Yeah, and, right and after
it,
the interception.
It took them 11 plays to get, you know, to the five.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's
but a lot
that's
of his,
why he
a lot
had
of
so
his,
many
a lot of his
passes
completions, too, were when guys were just about to get him and he dumped them off.
Yeah.
Like a receiver running short
across
the
middle. 11 plays to go from the 45 to the 5, 40 yards in 11 plays.
But I think he's the type of quarterback that's content to do that. And I think, you know, it's not like he... I think they took some of that away in the game and
just doesn't
and,
listen.
Well, and you know what? Let's lay it out like it is. They're a nice NFC team. That's like the varsity playing the JV. I don't want to hear about the Bears coming in
okay,
here and winning any kind of game. Yeah, like it's not true. Well, what happened when Jacksonville went to Philadelphia? What happened when Baltimore went to New Orleans? You want to go through every week and see this? Because last year it was the most one-sided it's ever been, and I'm sure this year it will equal it because the NFC is a joke.
It's like the American League and the National League.
Yeah. Remember that great Bears defense, Fred, that ranked number one in the NFL last year?
Right.
What happened when they went to Pittsburgh? Try 200 yards on the ground. That's how good their defense was. Same thing will
happen. So you're making a prediction in a couple weeks that when they come here, it's going to be like that?
No NFC team can come here and win.
Wow. That's like a pretty good prediction right there.
Well, I mean, it's good. You know.
It's good he puts himself out there.
This is a Bears team that was lucky to beat the Vikings. I mean, so they're pretty.
How about that Arizona game?
The Cardinals.
They weren't lucky to win that game?
That's what I'm saying. So all this Bears going undefeated.
What's with all the TV monitors in here?
We film Patriots Monday for Comcast.
Ah, I see. So. That's what that fancy camera's
over.
So
we have to make it look good.
What about Belichick today, huh? He was in rare form.
I wasn't there. You know, I got Tom's take.
So you said, Tom, you were at Belichick. What happened down there today?
I told him all business.
I've got Tom's take on this. Now, you've actually broken bread with the man, so you know him a little bit more than most people. What was your
take?
He
was foul today.
Why? Why do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, A, it could be what happened, what's been reported with his son. Or there's a story in the Boston Herald today about him.
Really?
And
then that's when they smoke.
Yeah, I haven't read the story yet, but apparently...
So he could be just mad at the
about,
media.
What is it about?
About this guy in New Jersey.
Yeah. You know what I think of that guy in New Jersey.
Do you think it's any with a... I mean, people out there should know Bill Belichick knows every single thing that's said about the Patriots. And all of a sudden, everyone's, this is the best team ever. ESPN is nonstop.
Oh,
that
sure.
could be part
yeah.
of it, too.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, he wants it down. And he doesn't want to talk about Adam Vinatieri.
Right.
You know, he doesn't want to talk about Bill
But he was, I mean, that was, I mean.
That's the meanest
vintage,
I've ever seen him.
Vintage. That was ridiculous for a Wednesday. You never see. The only time you ever see him like that is after a loss.
After a
post
loss,
game.
Yeah.
When he doesn't, when he says, you know, we got outplayed, outcoached, out everything.
Yeah.
And he says that after every loss.
Right.
I mean, you know, so he was in rare form today, no doubt about it. Something has obviously crawled up his, you know what. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
All right. It
is what it is.
Okay.
But I think that you asked me about, do I, you know,
it
coming off that win and about this week. I don't think the Patriots have ever had great success stopping the Colts offense except in January in Foxborough. So can they do it this week? I mean, I think that they're going to have to score 27 points or more to win the game. I don't think they're going to hold this team to 14 points.
I agree with that.
So can they do that? Yeah. I mean, this whole theory about running the football and controlling the clock, that's a great theory. Everybody wants to do that to the Colts.
But you got
to. But they score so quickly. Exactly. And they score so quickly that they can take you right out of that. And now you play the game on their terms. And they have to try to get this game played on their own terms. They do have to run the football, obviously. But don't be surprised. I mean, everyone says, oh, the Colts, their run defense stinks. Their run defense has never been, you know, very good during this Peyton Manning era. But I've seen the Patriots come out and open the game with exactly what they did in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. They did that
in the first playoff game.
And they also did it opening night when they played the Colts here at Gillette Stadium.
The one thing that seems to be different here was...
And Doss is out, and another cornerback is out.
I was just going to say, Sanders and Doss have been injured. That's both starting safeties. Rieger and Simon, both starting D tackles, have been out. And I think they struggled against the run for years. And you kind of saw him get a little bit better when Corey Simon came last year. Now he's out again, and I don't think they have that other big body in the middle.
Booger McFarland... There's a reason why, you know, he's...
Yeah, I mean, he might be an okay player, but I don't think he's making the impact that Simon made when he came there last year. And
well, he's not the big fat guy that Simon is. You know, he's not one of those guys that just occupies space in there.
Their defensive tackles are usually pretty small, and Simon was that one guy that kind of occupied space, and now he's out. And, you know, Sanders is a big loss, too. I mean, he was developing into one of the better safeties in the league. And if he doesn't play, you know, that hurts against Ben Watson because Sanders runs 4.3, you know, he's got 4.35 speed. He's one of the few people that could stay with Watson. So if you take him out of the equation, you know, a lot of injuries on the Colts defense, it's going
to
be tough.
Look, I always want to say with these guys, you know, you got to get up and you got to punch those receivers in the mouth. You know, you watch the Denver game and they're 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. They give those guys free releases. I mean, you might as well just let them go down the field. But at the same time, if you get up and you press them on every play and you're trying to hit them and turn and run with them, now your corners are out of position to play the run.
Yeah, but
and if your outside linebackers don't keep contain and set the edge, you know, you get some big chunks of yards made on the perimeter in the running game.
But don't you think you got to mix it up, though?
Yeah, I do.
I was just going to say, you have to mix it up.
But Peyton, this is where, I mean, I know everyone around here likes to dog Peyton Manning, but I mean, that's where he's just so good. If he sees you back off, he'll just change
it.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, he's just like Brady when it comes to seeing the field. On the phone right now is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, good.
Yeah, I was really psyched about how the offense looked. It's finally starting to click in.
Yep.
And I just have a couple questions. Do you know how long Steve Nail will be gone?
He's day to day.
Day to day for life.
Okay. And with the Colts' lack of running ability, don't you think the Patriots will just keep on running until they make them stop it?
Well, that's what we're talking about, and we think that they can. Brian's point is well taken, though. You know, you run the clock, you extend the drive, you score 7 points, but then the Colts are right back at you, and they have the ability to score so fast, really puts pressure on the Patriots to keep that pace. So, yes, we do think that they'll have success running the ball, but they've got to end up scoring 7 points almost every time.
And you look at this Colts defense, and you know, I know coming out of that, I think it was the 0-4 playoff game, because Corey Dillon had a big game in that game. He had a lot of yards in the second half, and everyone talked about the Colts run defense after that game. That was like a 6-3 game at halftime.
They only gave up 20 points. Yeah. If you're the Colts and you give up 20 points, you're supposed to win.
And if you look at the Colts' offensive possessions in that game, I think they had one that lasted more than 3 minutes. One. They did not lose that game because of their run defense. They lost their game because their offense could not move the football.
Right.
And that, to me, in those playoff games was key. Now, not so much the first year. I mean, you certainly kept the clamps on them, and the turnovers were obviously more critical in that game. What did he throw, 4 picks in that game? But I just look at it like you have to be able to slow down that offense to beat them. You're not just going to – I mean, it's a rare occasion when you're going to win a shootout. I know they won out there 38-34 during the, 0-3 season?
Right.
On the William McGinnis play. But they were winning that game 31-10.
Right.
And Indy came back and tied the game. I mean, that's the other thing about this team is that they're never out of it. No lead is safe when you play that team.
Ask Tampa Bay the Monday night game.
What else, Joe?
My other quick question is, if you watch the Denver game, Denver went into the prevent defense. Why does any team in the NFL play prevent? All it does is prevent you from winning.
Well, that's what they say, but, you know, teams do it because, you know, God forbid they don't. Someone goes over the top on you, you know.
And in a hurry-up situation.
It does work.
If you need to prevent a touchdown, you can give up the yards and then try to buckle down in the red zone. If you're a field goal away from losing.
If your kicker's Adam Vinatieri,
go out in a blaze of glory, take the quarterback out and do what got you there.
Well, and the other thing is though, when the offense is in a hurry up situation, you know you're not subbing, you're not really making a lot of changes. You play a couple basic coverages, and I think that's true of every team in the league in that situation. And you know you can't win. It's all about the result. Let's face it. You know you got a team that comes out and blitzes, and all of a sudden they give up a 50-yard pass. And they say, what were they doing? You know, how, I can't believe they were blitzing in that situation and leaving themselves exposed to a big play. I just think whatever you do, if it doesn't work, you're wrong.
All right, John, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
I also don't
I got to go.
All right.
Why?
I got to go to work.
Where are you going?
Providence.
Yeah, but
you're so full of it.
You're not on the radio until 3 o'clock.
Because if no, there was I understand a, that, but kind of, I don't get there at I don't 3 know. O'clock. I got to go in and do some stuff.
You actually do pre-work?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I
Who
farted?
You have to do your reads. You have to do your reads.
Well, you know, I got to make sure, figure out what we're going to talk about today.
Maybe I'm Brian Morey.
Celtics
star,
open up tonight.
Star right. of the score.
You're starting to bore me. Hit the bricks.
But he got his hands.
All right, boys. We'll see you.
Thanks. So many balls. Again, that's scoreamfm.com, live streaming.
Ex-PFWer.
Take care.
Brian Morey. And we appreciate him coming in. All right, we got a ton of emails. We're going to get to them right after this.
I just told my coworker to listen to PFW
nice.
In Progress, and he gave me the bird.
Nobody does it better.
I love the song, but that's okay. I'm a girl.
It makes me feel sad for the rest.
That is so gay.
Nobody does it half as good as you.
Thank you very much.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 of qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, and a goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW Progress, Ryan Morey just joined us in that last segment. Good to hear from him.
How's his show doing? I don't really my commute is like 8 minutes long, so I don't listen to a lot of talk.
Yeah,
radio.
No, I guess he's doing all right. He's still got a job. He's still got a job, so that's good. That's good.
Now, does he have the same rules that Felger has with the signal strength? Remember that Felger was talking about
all radio stations, unless they're branded a clear channel station, have to reduce their. And
you think with all the litigation in the world today, they could put an end to that? Because that's Felger said. I mean, like this week, now that it's going to be dark at 5 o'clock, like no one can hear his show.
Yeah, it stinks.
It just sucks for people who like the show.
It's an antiquated rule, you know, having to do like he said with World War II and all that stuff. So
that doesn't surprise me in this state.
In the Cold War, well, it's not the state; it's a federal.
Oh, it's a federal.
Yeah,
well, that's even worse.
This is the FCC.
At least I just thought it was Massachusetts being pigheaded.
Oh, this is a federal law. Okay, let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Our first comes from Stephen in Edinburgh, Scotland. It says, after watching Monday's game, you can see that the receivers are looking better. Rashay Caldwell had his best game so far. Watson looked good, getting 95 yards and a TD. Also, the run D was excellent, as they only allowed Chester Taylor 22 yards rushing. Now, with the Colts coming up, the offense is starting to click. The run defense should stop the run. How do you think the secondary will play against top-flight receivers? Also, what do you think about Tully Bannacane? My last email was about the kicker and kicking a winning field goal. If we play like that and get a big lead, hopefully he won't need to make one.
Tully Bannacane.
Well, Bannacane obviously had his best game of the season. What was the beginning of that email about?
But how do you think the Patriots will do against top-flight receivers?
I think it's supposed to be cold this week. I don't know what the weather forecast. The weekend's supposed to be cold. I think if the weather is decent, no defense can totally shut down the Colts. Now, you look at Denver. The Colts scored 6 points at the half. We were on the bus. I got to the hotel room. They had 21 points. I mean, they just, they're too deadly to say, well, we're going to hold them to 7 points. I think if you can hold them between 17 and 24 points, you win the game. Anything in the 30s, now you're just in their kind of, you're in a shootout. But giving up 21, 24 points to the Colts, the Patriots should win that football game.
All right. And Tully Bannacane. A lot of people are interested in Tully Bannacane.
Well, because he had a good game.
Yeah.
And, he had a good game against the Vikings. And, see, that's what they need from – he doesn't play all the time. They just need – when he gets in there, a couple of plays a game.
Right.
You know, people – like, I know, like, during the preseason and training camp, you know, we always try to do all these things about all these players. But, you know, not everybody is Mike Vrabel. You know, you need guys like Bannacane, guys right. who come in and make maybe – 2 plays a game. You need those kind of guys. And if he can come in and do what he did against the Vikings, maybe get 1 sack a game or a couple of pressures, that's good enough.
Again, and we go back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this show. Having guys like that is what makes the Patriots so good. Yeah. Guys that are willing to do certain things, buy into the system, you know, understand who they are, what their role is, and just buy into that.
And I know what I wanted to say about that email. See, I don't know if that was a great game for Watson. That's one of yours where the numbers look better. He's dropping too many passes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If everyone expects him to be the player he's supposed to be, he's got to start hanging on to more. He could have caught 12 balls
he
in that game.
There were at least two, maybe three balls he thrown his way that he had his hands on. One of them, he was wide open. He reached up and it went right through both hands. He could have turned. He caught it around. That was around the 12-yard line. It's very possible he could have been in the end zone with that catch. So, and Brady's numbers would have been over 400. So Watson's got to catch those
balls. In a game like that, people kind of gloss over it. But in a big game, one of those drops might cost you the victory.
Yep. Jason says, first, love the podcast, and this is my first email. Welcome, Jason. I have one question and one comment. Here's my question. What did the Patriots do on offense and defensive lines that enabled them to own this Vikings team? We heard all week that the Vikings are excellent on both sides in the trenches, and many of us felt that key injuries to the Patriots would give the Vikings the edge. What was different than what we all expected?
The Patriots just played better than them, outcoached them, outplayed them. I mean, I hate to be Bill Belichick, but that's what it was. The surprising thing to me was they kind of got down, so they couldn't run the ball. But we thought that left side of the Vikings line would be a problem for the Patriots, and instead, Tully Bantakane was just running freely through, and they were putting pressure from the left side. It's hard to tell Hutchinson because unless you're really watching a guard, it's kind of hard to tell how he played. But McKinney had a bad game.
Yeah. And on the offensive side, I thought that Matt Light had, like I said, had one of his best games so far.
And it's
so many times these guys tried to take the outside route to get to Brady, and he just rode them way out of the picture.
And they do have, you know, below average pass rushers at the end position.
So, finally, the comment from Jason: many Pats fans, including myself, do not like Peyton Manning. I understand those reasons and agree with many of them, but I'm sure that we'll hear over and over again this week from emailers and callers about how he's not really a great quarterback. This is nonsense. He is a great quarterback and will likely own a chunk of the record book by the time he retires. Along with Brady, he'll be first-round pick for Canton, which brings me to my point. Instead of bashing on Manning, Pats fans should savor the fact that we've had the chance to see two of the best players in NFL history go toe-to-toe season after season. For me, watching those two fierce competitors bump heads is as sweet as it gets. We should all be able to sit back and enjoy watching history unfold.
Now, who's that emailer's name?
Jason.
Don't send in another email. You won't get any better than that. That was a great email. Well said. You know, I always hear Patriot fans say Dan Marino. What does Dan Marino have to hang his head about? He was a phenomenal quarterback. It wasn't his fault they didn't win a Super Bowl. You know, I understand Peyton hasn't played great in playoff games, and he needs to take the blame for that. But he's not one of those guys that just racks up meaningless stats. I mean, you watch that game against Denver, back and forth, the way he manages the game. If you think Peyton Manning's overrated, you're kidding yourself. Kidding yourself.
And Paul Perillo's here. Paul, how you doing?
Hi, Fred.
What do we owe this honor?
Well, I didn't have a whole lot of transcribing to do, so I thought I'd come down and do some radio.
You were obviously at the press conference today. I guess it was as bristly as it ever was.
Yeah, I would say that Bill, who was generally not overflowing with information, was less helpful than normal today.
He was
not in a good mood. He didn't have any problem letting everybody know he wasn't in a good mood. And basically the message was, unless it's helping us win on Sunday against the Colts or improve as a football team in general, he had no interest in it.
And very few players available in the locker room?
Yeah, it was slim pickings. I did get a chance to talk to Richard Seymour for a while. I think Mike Vrabel spoke. Billy Yates was in the locker room.
The normal token guys that they throw out there.
Not a lot of others. There was some offensive linemen, a couple of defensive backs here and there. You know, Hawkins, Rodney Harrison.
What kind of locker room do they have?
You know, Brady. Now, in fairness, Brady did have his press conference today as well, and then the conference calls, which I got a chance to listen to Tony Dungy a little bit, and I'll tell you, he's a pretty smart guy too. Dungy says a lot of stuff that you hear from Belichick. You know, just that kind of coach stuff to make sure that you know you're covering all sides
and
you know, talking about for an example of that. Talking about the Patriots running game, well, he mentioned the three great backs that the Patriots have. You know, surprised he didn't say four and throw Heath Evans in there. But,
oh, I thought that's who he meant.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, so, you know, I
leading
think
most, rusher last week.
I have
no, seriousness, most people would say the two-headed running attack in New England, right? Well, he mentioned Falk, too.
He mentioned Falk, and it's funny, speaking of Heath Evans, after the game I go over the photos, and I have one sequence of, you know, Heath Evans with that big run. He breaks through the line. And then, you know, he's running. Then I have another one further downfield. Then another one with, like, he's giving somebody a stiff arm. And then, you know, for another stiff arm. Then all of a sudden, the next picture, there's some guy's fist that punches the ball out. Right. And, like, he has this mean look. And then that fifth picture, it's like his eyes are wide open as he sees the ball pop up in front of him. It was pretty funny.
I thought it was funny when he broke into the clear and he had that one guy to beat and he tried to give him the little stutter step.
Right.
And the guy didn't move.
Well, he gave him the stutter step 10 yards away.
Right.
And it was like, you know.
Could explain his lack of long runs throughout his career.
In
his defense, I don't think he's not used to being in the open field. He hasn't had a lot of experience.
But it was so funny. It was like those guys in baseball that slide halfway through and they don't even reach the base.
Yeah.
You know, he gave him the stutter step. He didn't even need to do it yet.
I was half expecting to see him have two hands on the ball.
Yeah,
you know, 30 yards downfield just running.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You know, but what do you think last week they were so loose playing games in the locker room? You know, and then this week it's completely different.
Well, I'm
going to
turn it around, and you know, Tom, Andy, and I were kind of talking about this after the press conference. We want to turn it around and ask you what you think that means.
Well, I think that there are certain stories out in the press, you know, about his son, and I guess there was another one. I think he came out just letting everyone know, I'm not in a good mood, so don't even bother. Just to kind
of... Probably some accuracy.
To build a wall. And, you know, hey, it's smart of him to do, you know?
I don't think anybody would ask him about that stuff.
But I think he just
anyway,
wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure.
I was wondering if you thought, you know, well, geez, he's in a bad mood. They're all business this week. You know, they're going to win big. Because I know when they're lighthearted, you always think, well, they don't have a worry in the world. They're going
to
win big.
That might have to do with what went on in the locker room. You know, what's the paucity of players available. You know, they don't want to say anything about Adam.
Paucity,
they know,
good word.
They know they're going to be asked about Adam. They know, you know, the whole rivalry. They don't want to talk about
it. I don't think you're going to get too many Steven Gostkowski quotes this week.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to find him anywhere.
I was thinking they'd do one or two things with him. They wouldn't make him available at all. Or they'd say, you know what, we care so little about this thing. Let's put Gostkowski and let him go. You know, to show that
maybe if he wasn't a rookie, but I think they could be worried that he might slip up and say something that the media could take and run with.
Yeah, yeah, and it could be. So... obviously, he wasn't available.
So, you know, you never know. The world, according to Heath Evans, maybe he says something.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anything else, Paul, before we get back to the email?
No, I'm blending in, Fred. Continue to run the show. You're doing a fine job.
Good show last night. I didn't see it. We got done taping at 10 minutes before the – you got home in time?
No, I saw the second one.
Oh, that's right. They run it again. I could have watched at 11:30.
You could have, and you could speak into the microphone.
You could tell we were all very tired, but it was a decent show for what we did to get there and everything. But I mean, our faces, you could just tell we hadn't gotten a lot of sleep.
We were pretty drawn.
It was spirited.
We don't have makeup there.
No, we don't, which we need.
We go to Channel 3. We go to Channel 3 Community Cable and get makeup. This place, they don't give us makeup.
Community Cable.
But the good news is that I guess we might be changing the set. Is that something we
I'm going to work on that. Yeah.
Be nice.
We identified an area that we'd like to use.
Good.
They're kind of their anchor desk. Is that what you might call it?
Yeah, be more relaxed.
So. Yeah. So maybe we'll change that up. But if you saw the show last night, we welcome your comments. Let us know how bad
I believe it's on again throughout the week, Andy said, at certain times.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I think that's what Andy said. Like he sets it to record, and then like it records at different times. I think it might be like 6 in the morning or something like that. But
I didn't know that. Craig from Boxborough, great game on Monday night. I was wondering, with the emergence of the passing game and Maroney's success this season, what will Corey Dillon's future in New England be? Also, when is his contract up, and do they have a potential option to pick up that contract? The future of Corey Dillon.
Well, I do think that he has the extension that he signed, and I don't have the exact year in front of me, but I believe he is under contract into next season, but I think it moves into a bigger money base salary, to which I'm going to guess that either he's going to have to restructure again, or I think they'll part ways with Corey Dillon. Right now, I don't think that he'll be a part of the team next year.
I agree.
What do you think, Fred?
Again, it's up to him. I think if he wants to come back for you know, fair money, they'll take him. Otherwise, I agree.
I'm not sure that they. I'm not sure either way.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's going to be his choice.
Richard from Niantic, Connecticut, writes in. I guess there's a lot of buzz about this Sports Illustrated poll about overrated players.
Yeah, and the only problem I have with it, I didn't see it, but I heard Roy Williams was at number one, so I don't care about the poll. It's right. Meaningless.
Yeah, it was Terrell Owens was one, Brian Urlacher was two, Ray Lewis, I believe,
yeah,
was
Ray Lewis,
tied
which
third,
I agree with
Michael Vick.
I agree
so
with
him. So where was Brady?
Brady wasn't.
No, he wasn't on it, but you know, Manning was on it, Eli Manning, Keyshawn Johnson, Michael Vick, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis, Terrell Owens was number one. The writer from SI said, I would add Tom Brady to the list.
Oh.
And that's what's caused...
And it was a small little blurb. I read it, and he wrote that he's a great quarterback, but he just thinks he's overrated.
Oh, because of the system. So, of course, that spawned a whole string of replies. It's on their website, so people could, you know, reply to it. And it's just a string of people calling this guy an idiot.
Which he is.
Yeah.
He's not overrated.
Let's see.
I certainly think you could find a whole lot more names to insert instead of Tom Brady in that situation.
Idiot. Let's see. Next email is from Karthik in San Jose, California. Karthik with a K.
All right. I've
heard that name before.
Nor have I.
No first-round receivers like Holt, Harrison, Bolden, or Steve Smith. No second-rounders like Wayne, Starworth, Horn, Driver, Walker. No late-rounders like Branch, Burleson, Coles. No potential rookies like Jenkins, Colston, Jennings. The rounds are per fantasy numbers. Caldwell, Gabriel, aging Troy Brown, Gaffney, and Jackson must have been on the roster in less than 20% of all leagues.
Are we talking about in terms of fantasy?
What's the point here?
I mean, in terms of fantasy, none of those guys should be on anybody's fantasy team.
Yeah.
Except Andy's.
Can you name any quarterback who can put up 378 yards, four TDs with all these guys? I do not want to take anything away from these guys, and they have put up so much effort and hard work. Kudos to the coaching group to make them ready for the action. But the main reason is the golden arm of Brady and nothing else. For all Brady doubters, you guys from PFW team have answered them patiently. Did you note that what Brady's told yesterday? I have to watch the Colts defense DVD on the flight back home. Guys with three Super Bowl rings so early in his career and an assured Hall of Fame, he still works damn hard, and the last thing we can do is doubt him. Defense and Belichick would have brought Super Bowl rings, but not 3 and 4 years without Brady. Let's see. I guess Brady has got something with Peyton's game instigated, but I don't know what that means. He always plays crazy after such things. Remember the game against Atlanta last year after Marty Ball made a nasty comment. Having said that, I still wish we had Branch on the team. He has been such a great teammate. I still remember him crying after the playoff loss against Denver. Good to see offense getting great runs, but defense needs a big kudo because they have played exceptionally all of yesterday night. I don't.
All right. Well, okay. Let me say this.
If
Peyton Manning was the quarterback and the Vikings played defense like they did against the Patriots, he would have thrown for the exact same amount, if not more. Because, trust me, the way they were playing defense, it didn't matter. Brady, Manning, they would pick that defense apart. And so Brady's great, but he's not the only quarterback who would have thrown for 370 yards against that defense.
Yeah, and I think that there are a lot. I mean, you know, Donovan McNabb, for example, has had
huge games with
all this season, but his whole career, with the exception of the 1 year they had T.O.,
yeah,
they've never had good receivers.
Right.
Or what we consider top flight
NFL
receivers.
They had Todd Pinkston as a starter for 5 years.
And yeah, they have Reggie Brown and Tom's buddy Hank Basket. You know, they're throwing bombs to him. And you know.
That only works against the Cowboys.
I agree the way Tom said it. Brady is great, but let's not. I mean, he's not great because he threw for 372 yards with this crew of receivers. He's great because he's great. I mean, he's great because he makes the right reads and the right calls, and he throws the ball where it's supposed to go. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that have made their receivers look better than they are. You know, Dan Marino did that for years with Mark Clayton and Mark Duper.
Elway, the three amigos.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, perfect example.
So if you sit down and think about it, like, because I used to do the fantasy football stuff, there's a very few, like, legit dominant receivers in the NFL. Most of them have a couple of good years and then, you know, are just good receivers. There's very few Steve Smiths out there. So there's not a lot of teams that have that type of guy.
PJ writes in, Rodney Harrison is flying around the field again. That's great to see. Tully Bannacane was a factor early in the game with some hurries and a sack and a hurry late. His hurry was against McKinney early in the game, which was impressive. Could that be Tully's coming out party? I sure hope so. A lot of Tully Bannacane love being thrown around.
He played well. And for whatever reason, he played early in the game. Now, I can't recall in the first, how many games did they play? Seven? First six games. I can't recall one meaningful defensive snap that he took. He played mostly mop up late in games.
Well, it was the
maybe the first game when Brusky didn't play. When Brusky didn't play.
Right.
So that meant Vrabel was inside, so he played outside.
And he forced Lausman
okay,
inside.
So he played that game. The other games, I can't remember him being on the field for a meaningful defensive snap.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Monday night, he's out there the second play of the game running by Bryant McKinney like he was standing still.
Yep.
So there was obviously something in that matchup that they felt like they could exploit McKinney with Bannacane's speed. And, you know,
Tully.
Andy's going to talk to him tomorrow for a story for next week. So we'll see what he had to say about it.
Also, PJ says, did you guys happen to notice that someone threw a beer at Ben Watson after his touchdown and Brady looked like he was about to jump into the stands after him? There goes the headline, Calm Brady, Fred. Yeah, absolutely. I heard about that. I didn't see
it. I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it.
It was a bottle of beer they threw at him.
Now, this is Minnesota. There's supposed to be nice people up there. What's going on? You know, that's the Eagles. Their fans do that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the stuff that you're looking for out of your fans, Fred. You want them to be loud and jumping up and down.
I don't throwing things.
Maybe you should shut up.
Finally, I'm going to the game this week. Can you tell me what time the stadium opens? I want to get there early because I have standing room only tickets and I need to get in front of the railing.
Leave now.
Talk to yous later. Parking lot opens 4 hours before the game. Gates open 2 hours before the game. So
I didn't know we sold standing room only tickets.
Yeah, we do.
Wow.
Yep.
It's going to be a mob scene.
Yeah, it is. But it's going to be fun. You can move. There's a lot of room to move around.
I was supposed to just saw the weather. No surprise here. Chilly weather expected for this weekend. So it should
possible snow.
It should be mighty cold Sunday night. So be prepared. Yeah, there'll probably be a blizzard coming out of nowhere.
Well, it'll be windy because in September.
Do you
here
think that like before these games, Belichick closes his door, shuts the blinds in his window, and he puts on like this black robe?
Yes.
And, like has this like crystal ball and does all these, you know,
chants and
spells and, you know, all that stuff, incantations and, you know, does that? What's that?
I don't know
what the hell that is.
Oh, Wendy's.
That's from your era, Paul.
That song.
That my era?
When we don't know it, it's then you've lost us.
I don't think
Gary.
That's my era.
I thought you were going to do something like mysterious. Like
Gary told me what it was, and I still don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So it's not from my era. Now that I know what that is.
He's like a sorcerer. You think so?
I see he's something.
See, I don't think he has to do that anymore. He did it once. He made the pact, and now it's in place.
TG writes in, okay, guys, let's cut to the chase. What's the game plan for this weekend? If it seems too obvious, run the ball, keep Manning off the field. Why hasn't anyone else been able to do it so far? The Broncos had a chance, but they left too much time on the board for Manning and now Vinatieri. The last 2 minutes look like a Patriots game finish. Do the Patriots need to come up with a game plan that would work against themselves? Good point.
Well, he's incorrect because Tennessee and Jacksonville used that theory. They just didn't win.
I was going to say they both succeeded in that. They kept Manning off the field and kept the score down and didn't score enough points to win.
And that's the one thing about these Colts. Even though their defense isn't great, they can now win 14-13 games where I think a couple years ago they couldn't. Because I think their defense would just give up 30 points instead of 13. So while their rush defense isn't great, you know, they don't give up quite as many points as they used to. And if it gets into a 17-14 game, they can win those games now. I don't think they will, but they
I don't think they'll beat the Patriots
14-13.
But you're right. They've shown the ability to win some of the lower scoring games that they've been in. Whereas in the past, if they only scored 14 points in a game, that was a loss. You could put it down.
Right.
I don't think necessarily that the obvious is is what's going to happen this week. This was, by the way, a mob scene. We were watching highlights of Halloween yesterday in Salem.
Is that Willie McGinnis?
Unbelievable it was. Really? Unbelievable mess last night.
Wow.
But I don't think that you're necessarily just going to see, you know, nonstop running the ball. We say that all the time when the Patriots play the Colts, and sometimes they do that, and sometimes they haven't. They've been able to – that's the thing about the Colts defense. They're equal opportunity. You can pass on them and
right,
run on them.
You can do whatever you want.
So I wouldn't necessarily just expect to see a total ground attack. I think
Me
you'll
either.
See a pretty balanced attack on
You'll
Sunday.
Just see more running than what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And I would think that they'll have success with it because they won't be able to handle Dillon and Maroney.
I think you're going to see a bigger chunk of Corey Dillon this week.
That's where I got married right there. Oh, you just missed it, the Hawthorne Hotel.
I was there.
You were there. You were watching a football game at the time, but that's okay.
I had pneumonia.
You were very sick, but you did have your handheld TV watching football at my wedding.
I'd have done the same thing.
I wasn't invited.
There was a reason for that, and you know it. I apologize for that.
You're invited to mine if you want to come.
Should we talk about that now?
No, it's all right.
Okay.
Let's see. Aaron from Newton. Over the last couple of weeks, you have been constantly mocking the Patriots' attempt of running the wide receiver screen where Matt Light goes out to block the corner. Well, now we know why they kept trying to run it. It turned out to be one of the biggest plays of the game. Also, I have a question. I was watching Denver versus Colts last week, and I saw Dan Klecko. Could you please give some information about how he got to the Colts and about his production?
Well, he was released by
that
the
makes me feel better about the game this weekend.
He was released by the Patriots and signed by the Colts.
Right. How's his production been?
He hasn't played a lot. He's been hurt. He missed a couple of games. Tom and I both happened to click on the game
the
on Sunday
at the exact same time,
and he made a tackle. but he hasn't played a lot.
For the wide receiver screen, if you run something 50 times and it works once, don't write in and say, I told you so. Next email.
Right. And the other thing, too, is it was one of the biggest plays in the game. First of all, how can you distinguish what was one of the biggest plays in the game? Every play they got 30 yards the other day. You know, they didn't run the ball all night, but they had one run that was 35 yards. I mean, they you know, basically they did whatever they wanted to on offense. I also think one of those screens one of those wide receiver screens didn't Caldwell fumble on one of them.
Same play.
Yeah. So. That's not my favorite play. And there was one that they got that I, by the way, I thought was a blatant.
That was the one. That was the play.
I meant to ask Bill about this. If we can, I want to do that. Because the throw was behind the line of scrimmage, I'm wondering if you can block before the ball is caught. Because there was definitely contact being made with a blocker on the defender while the ball was in the air. But it was behind the line of scrimmage, so I'm wondering if that absolves you of that offensive pass interference. But that was the play that we were talking about. It was a blatant pick.
Let's see. Russell from the OC says, gentlemen, and of course, Big Show Perillo, a very satisfying performance Monday night. Seems the receivers and Brady are on the same page. I want to get your thoughts on Ben Watson. I've been in his corner since they drafted him. I know it's only his second full year playing, but he dropped a couple of balls that looked to have been easy catches. I also would have liked to see him fight more for that ball that was intercepted. If he did, at the very least, he could have knocked it away. One thing is for sure, once he gets rolling after the catch, he's a monster to bring down. Lastly, during Monday night broadcast, they were talking about how Brady doesn't have as many endorsement deals as others, and Kornheiser said he asked Tom about that, and Brady said he doesn't take many of them because it takes time away from his working on football. Now, that's why he's Tom Brady. Love the show. Okay. What about Watson?
I just think he needs to be more consistent catching the football.
Well,
everything
you look
else
upset
is fine.
About that email.
Well, I was going to let Tom answer. I don't want to answer every question.
No, Watson just needs to be a little bit more consistent because if he drops a ball in a big game, I don't think fans are going to be as forgiving as they were last week.
That's right. And Kornheiser, I guess he was going on and on about Brady not getting the attention.
I mean, that part of it, I really don't care about.
Right, I don't either. But Paul.
Didn't Brady host Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he go and visit Pope?
Yeah.
wasn't he a guest at the
White House?
The White House inauguration?
I forget who it was, but they said they were in Italy and just, you know, they didn't have anything on Patriots, but they saw. They had somebody on Patriots, and somebody from Italy. said, oh, no, Patriots. And so they asked him, you know, who do you know from the Patriots? And the first person they thought of was Tom Brady. This is in Italy. You know,
I've had so much fun.
First of all, if you're talking about people not giving Brady credit, don't talk about Kornheiser because he loves him. I mean, he absolutely loves him. But I think,
well, he's on his fantasy team.
But I think what the emailer's trying to say, like, well, Peyton Manning's on all the commercials. Well, you know what? I have to say, if I had my moment in the sun and I could make as much money as possible, I'd do it. How long do you think those commercials take to make? What, a minute?
Yeah. And, well, no. You know, no, they take a whole day.
A whole day.
I mean, is that
the
really,
off season?
You know, and can we criticize? We can criticize Peyton Manning if we want for not being able to win the big
right.
one. But do you really think that his lack of preparation?
Oh, no. Wait.
But that's what this emailer is getting.
I'm not criticizing Peyton Manning.
I know you're not.
At the same time, I understand where Brady wouldn't want to do it.
But I'm
fine,
saying,
and that decision's fine too.
That's fine.
Do you really?
First of all, do you really think that that's true? We've seen him enough on endorsements to know that he has done, you know, so.
Very selective. I mean, I'll give you an example. He just came out with Movado came out with a line of sports watches, very high-end. These are like $1,000 watches, and they have Brady as one of the endorsers. Now, I was in the Chestnut Hill Mall about a month ago, and they had, like, black-and-white photos of him with a really kind of model-y
Metro.
Type. Now, I can guarantee you, sitting for that session probably took a day, you know, because everything has to be the lighting and all that. Yeah. So he's selective. He does his things.
But my point is,
Gatorade commercials.
Did he not lose a day of preparation that day?
I don't know.
Of course, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily criticize people for that.
But
you can't criticize Manning
for
not being
not working
hard.
But there's no doubt. If Brady did everything that was asked of him, he would definitely lose preparation time.
Right, and I'm sure that. You know, while we see Manning more on endorsement deals, I'm sure that he doesn't do everything that's asked of him either.
Right.
Because I think, to be honest with you, I know this is probably sacrilege in New England, but I think he's pretty good in those spots.
They're
entertaining.
I thought he's great.
And I'm sure that other people have noticed that and probably want him.
No,
because he's pretty good.
He's very good. He's very good. I would have to say that Manning in the what's the commercial where he's the fan, the Visa commercial. I'd say
Cut That Meat.
Yeah. Manning in the Visa commercial is better than Brady was on Saturday Night Live.
Decaf.
You know, showed more ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I just think he's.
There's one place where Manning has the edge.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's pretty. I mean, and I would never think it because he just seems like such a, you know, plastic figure, you know, like devoid of real personality. Right. But he obviously has a lot of personality.
Manning or Brady?
That movie that they showed on the plane on the way home from Minnesota with the Jennifer.
You're still trying to figure out if that's a comedy or not?
No, but.
The breakup.
They had a guy there that was her last date.
Did you just call her?
Jennifer Aniston.
Good job. He was pretending he didn't know her name last night. He's calling her like Jennifer Aniset, whatever. And I just
41 on Sunday.
I said, why do you.
But the last guy.
Pretend?
The last guy she dates.
That's going to be cold.
In that show, when they make the Tom Brady movie, this guy is going to be Tom Brady. He looks just like him. Did you see him?
I didn't.
No.
I didn't watch any of the movies.
As
soon as I got finished writing, I shut it down.
Just glancing up.
I was asleep in about 10 minutes.
I couldn't sleep. That plane stunk. It was ridiculous. All right.
Tom, did you have somebody next to you? No, I didn't. Andy's not happy.
Why, he did?
Oh.
Andy's next to Bilo, and Tom gets his own seat.
Wow. That's something.
I don't know what it is. Andy never gets the middle. He got it for like 2 weeks, like during the preseason. He's always on the end. Always.
You should say, hey, Andy, at least I get my own seat, you know?
Well, I give it to him a little bit, but it is pretty unfair because I think for the writers we should sit in the middle because we have a job to do. But what are you going to do?
They don't care.
Gary, they showed a few good
but
men
why
on the way down.
But why don't they care?
I don't know.
We work for the team.
There's just a pecking order.
Tom was about 10 rows behind me, and during the last scene, you know, the Colonel Jessup scene, I turn around and as soon as that scene gets underway, I turn around and he's staring back at me laughing with that stupid smile on his face.
All right. Ethan writes in. Where's Ethan from? He's from Delaware. And he says, I was going to make some sarcastic.
What is Delaware?
Her New Jersey.
There you go.
Yeah. Was it nice? Alaska.
God.
I was going to make some sarcastic remark to all the fans who thought Brady was done for the year, but I figured you'd have that covered. Anyway, for a real question, There were a few times on Monday night when the Vikings were getting pressure on Brady from the angle from my couch. It looked like it was coming through O'Callaghan. From your angle,
That's correct.
The problem in O'Callaghan's technique, or was it due to having Yates instead of Neal in there? Curious in the event of a team that would be blitzing more. The other concern, if you can call it that, is the penalties. Were they a product of being in the dome, getting cocky, or was the officiating crew a bit flag-happy? In a different game, those yards could have been critical.
Flag-happy? Listen, the Patriots got more calls in that game than any calls that went their way in that game than any game since I've been here.
Patriots
seriously
had such a benefit in the calls in this game that we actually had two SPFWs, Fred, that
saying it was ridiculous.
Pointed it out that it was ridiculous. And, I'm a Patriots fan, dot, 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 but it was ridiculous.
Well,
that no catch?
The Wiggins?
The Wiggins catch.
That's not a catch. What is?
I have no idea.
I got to tell you, from my vantage point watching that replay, I counted no fewer than four steps that Wiggins took with the ball, maybe five, depending, you know, how fast. And there's an argument to be made that he was down by contact before he even lost the ball.
Yeah.
How they could call that an incomplete pass. You know what? And I'm half serious about this. If you got to a point where you were, like, desperate and you had to have a play overturned, I could see, like, an opposing coach, like, you get, like, a quick slant and a guy catches the ball and runs, like, 15 yards and then fumbles at the end of it. If I'm the coach and that happens, I challenge it. What do you got to lose? They call every catch that the guy loses, they call it incomplete.
Well, you know,
it's ridiculous.
I was listening to Sirius, and I don't know if this is true, but the Pat Kerwin show with Tim Ryan, and they were saying that one of the things that people don't realize about the replay system is that what the ref is looking at under the hood is a line feed, and they see the different angles, but they don't see the super slow-mo.
They don't see
stuff.
What we see.
They don't see
that's
what
embarrassing.
We see.
That's embarrassing.
And that's what they said. They said, look, first of all, if that's the case, let the public know. So at least you're giving the refs some, you know, break there that they're not seeing what we see. And then second of all, let them see what we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, the technology's
absolutely
there.
Embarrassing.
And I guess they're seeing it on these old antiquated monitors, and the NFL saying that by next season they'll update all those machines.
Listen, the NFL.
But I guess the dirty little secret is they're seeing things in real time, and they don't have the benefit of slow-mo.
The dirty little secret is the NFL is cheap, and let me tell you why. College football has a thing in place with a company that allows you to blow the play up. So, like, if there's a question about if a guy's knee's down, they can actually blow up the image and see it. So if college football can have a system like that, you're telling me the NFL's using black and white TVs with one replay? That's a joke.
Are you telling me that when the referees look at replays, they don't get it in slow
motion? They're not seeing what we see.
I'm not talking about the different angles, maybe, they don't see it in
slow
motion.
I don't know anything about the slow motion.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's
what good is looking at it if you don't get to see it in
slow
motion?
The whole thing is that they want it to be bang, bang. They want to see it as it happened on the field.
That's stupid.
It is stupid.
No wonder why there's so many times you're left scratching your head.
It is stupid.
Because if you watch it real time, you might not know.
And what Pat Kerwin's point, if that's the case, you know, in lieu of updating the system, at least let the public know that so that they give these guys a break.
I just think the NFL should be ashamed of themselves. Seriously. I mean, get the best technology out there.
You got Pereira back in the office in New York. Let him view it. Take an extra minute. Let him view it and over, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It doesn't.
I'm sure Mike would report
to
everybody that the calls were all right.
Yep.
There's no reason with today's technology to get it wrong.
Right. And another thing in that game, Corey Dillon throwing the ball like that, that's a 15-yard penalty in any game, college, high school, or pro.
You know, I didn't actually see
15-yard penalty, and they didn't call it.
I think it was the end of a screen pass, long screen pass.
Right.
He got up and threw the ball the entire width of the field. It had to have traveled 40 yards across the field.
Why didn't they call that?
And I have no idea.
I forgot who it
was. Did something happen to make him do that?
A couple of plays later, Benjamin Watson caught a pass and spiked the ball right in the guy who tackled him's face.
And, Paul, I forgot who said it to us, but someone made a good point. Even if you didn't want to call it, like, taunting, it was delay a game. He threw the ball across the field. You can't do that.
I think Minnesota was being dirty, and I think that that's why he did that.
Well, I think
to be honest with you,
he did it in response of the beer being thrown
right
on the field. I think that was the only thing. But that
still
had happened
a
long time prior to that, number one. And number two, it's still a penalty.
Yeah. You can't take the law into your own
hands.
Rodney
Harrison's dirty.
Right, Sheriff?
Right. No, I'm just saying, but I think the Patriots got away with a couple there. Even the Samuel where he was holding down Williamson's arm where he couldn't extend
it to catch
the ball. If
that had happened to the Patriots, we would have gotten bombarded with emails.
Let's see. Mike is from the North End. And he says, found your podcast a couple months ago, and I've been listening faithfully ever since. Consider me a card-carrying member of the Tom Casale fan club.
Hey, we got three.
Every time you guys wind him up and get him going on one of his rants, it makes for great radio. The Red Sox-obsessed shucks over at EEI could use a few pointers from you guys. You keep it light and give each other a hard time, but manage to work in more than your fair share of great football analysis, and it's almost commercial-free. That's not by our... We'd like it. Well, anyway, once I'm making enough money I can justify non-essential purposes, I will definitely subscribe to your paper. Anyways, enough butt kissing. Here are my questions. Bannekane was all over the quarterback Monday night. No one on the Vikings line could seem to stop him. If he's going to play like that, I'm surprised we haven't seen more of him. My guess is that pass rushing is still his only pro-level skill and that he struggles in run defense and coverage. Even if that is the case, it appears the Pats have discovered a new weapon reminiscent of Bruschi's first year or two on the team when he was still covering from a defensive line to linebacker but excelled as a pass rush specialist. Has Tully made a case for more playing time and an expanded role in the Patriots' defense?
I'll go back to what Paul said. In the opening game, he put pressure on Lozman and caused the safety that Warren got. Since then, I haven't even heard his name called until last Monday night.
Hasn't been on the field. With the exception of garbage time. So I'm going to guess that there was something in the game plan this week that Bill wanted to utilize his pass rushing ability and speed. My guess is he probably felt like he had a matchup advantage with Bantakane over Colvin coming off that side against Bryant McKinney, figuring that you need the speed to get around that edge because he's probably too strong for you to just beat. And I'm guessing that that's why he was such a big part of the game plan, because he was out there in the first series.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they got a lead, they knew it was going to be a passing game, and they threw him in there. He was a part of the game plan defensively this week. I don't know what that will mean going forward, though.
Mike wraps it up by saying, someone tell Kornheiser that we get it. He plays fantasy football, so do half his viewers. No one cares who's on his fantasy team.
I would say probably more than half.
That play fantasy football?
Oh, yeah.
I don't either, Fred.
Well, there's a ton of people that do.
Keith in Indy says, I'm making the trek from Indy out to my good old home state of Massachusetts for the game on Sunday. I've been trying to poll people and find out the best place to grab some food before the game. Any ideas? Mike Reese from The Globe recommended the Lafayette Steakhouse. Also, what do you think of the game this weekend? How ironic would it be if Gostkowski kicks the game winner? That would be...
But you know
that would be made.
You know that that's what happens, right? There's either one or two things that happens. Either the
and a
game,
Terry misses.
Either the Colts tie the game late, the way the Denver tied the game late last week, and the Patriots go doot 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 doot, and Gostkowski hits the field goal to win it.
That would be something.
Or
the Patriots are up by three.
Oh, we got to have a camera on.
Or it comes down to a Vinatieri field goal.
His head will explode.
And you know how the Vinatieri field goal will end? It'll get blocked.
It'll get blocked.
He won't miss.
Right.
But
right.
It'll get blocked. That's
because he will not miss.
Oh, we got to get a camera on Napoleon for this.
But Fred, watching that game against Denver, though, didn't you just kind of like say, "Geez, don't you wish he was still here?"
Absolutely.
Not even the game winner, the 48 yarder
was the one that
right
was
down the
to me.
Pipe. You know what I mean? No problem.
You can't make it any better than that.
There's no
what happened to his leg strength?
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw kickoffs going. I know it was Denver, okay? But I saw the kickoffs going well into the end zone, too, which was kind of surprising to me because he had 10 touchbacks last year, and he was drilling them into the end zone.
Well, maybe that groin injury was actually surgery to, you know, repair something
or
that really helped.
Maybe there's other factors
maybe
at work.
Maybe he did some substances, Fred? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Is he going to miss four games? That'll be the other thing that happens.
I don't know.
We'll find that out
Peyton Manning
Friday.
Will miss four-game suspension.
Well, no, it's if what you say happens, I might just die. It'll be too much for me.
Now, Fred, I'm not a part of any kind of organization, but isn't there a pro writers association? Something?
Yes.
So football writers
now, can't they file a complaint against Bill Polian because it's a rule that you can't, you know, cheer in the press box? If he wants to come in there and be the jerk that he is and has to be in the press box so everyone notices him, he should keep his mouth shut like everybody else.
First of all, he doesn't get invited to his owner's box. That's why he's in the press box. So that should tell you something right there.
Well, I didn't know that.
Are you serious?
Well, no. I'm not serious. But usually a GM is with their owner.
Well,
okay? He's not with Irsay.
Is ours? I don't think ours is with our owner.
Well, he's with the coaches, Pioli.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't sit in the other team's press box. He's with the team.
But there's a difference between not being invited to the owner's box, which you just suggested.
Well, go with me
okay.
here.
Okay. All right.
All right. You know,
as long as I know that's what I'm doing, I'm going along.
If there was a complaint, it would have to be filed. It would have to be filed by Stacey James through the Patriots. It wouldn't be filed.
Oh.
You know, unless he started yelling at writers.
Who's in charge of protecting the Patriots employees this week?
Mark Briggs.
Mark Briggs?
Mark Briggs is on alert.
God, I'd love to see him get
every,
a hold of him.
Every team ops person has a picture of Bill Polian in their pocket.
Oh, that is so funny.
Is this another one that I'm going along with?
I'm making that up.
I wish Briggs could get a hold of him.
I think we should go with that one,
the
too.
Guy
Let's get
is,
that one
the
out
guy,
the boards.
You said, well, he's not yelling. The guy is pounding on the desk.
Oh, I know.
He's yelling.
Look
it's
at that
ridiculous.
Douchebag.
Remember the Seinfeld one where Kramer's trying to get the attention of Joe DiMaggio?
Dinky Donuts.
That's what he does.
Right.
He pounds the table.
So if he can do that, can I yell over, hey, you, shut the hell up?
Well, you can.
I got my money on Tom on that.
Yeah, let's have somebody else do that. That's not with the Patriots.
So
we don't
want to
become part of the story.
Let's say that
Curran, if he's there, we'll do it.
Let's say if I find another job and my last day is the Colts game. That's my last game I'm going to do.
Okay.
Can I go over to him and say, listen, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you outside and kick the living crap out of you until you're within an inch of your life. You understand me? Can I do that? Look
yeah,
at that
you can
douchebag.
Do that.
And then he goes, can I do that?
That would be good.
Because that is really annoying.
Well, you bring up Tom Curran, Fred.
I triple dog dare you!
You're right.
You're next, Gary.
Because he's the one that generally brings a lot of this stuff to light. Like, he talked about the whole thing.
Well, he was sitting right below Polian when all that was happening.
Right, but, you know, I think a lot of guys... I mean, I overhear a lot of things in the press box that I would never repeat necessarily. Not because I'm trying to protect anybody. I just don't really think it's appropriate. You know, if you're not talking to a guy on the record or whatever, I don't necessarily think that they're expecting those comments to be made public.
Right. Short of a brawl.
Right. No, I mean, if there's a story that needs to be
be
told or whatever, that's different. But I've heard him talk about, you know, John Clayton in a disparaging way, Sean Salisbury, Bill Polian. I don't necessarily think that's what your job is as a journalist, is to describe every conversation that you're overhearing.
Well, everyone he can knock off is a... another step that he
and
can
I
go.
Say that, and I have a lot of respect for Tom Curran. I think he's excellent at what he does, and I think he's doing a great job. I love his blog right now on NBCSports.com, The Bump and Run. You should check it out. It's a pretty good blog.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm not a blog reader.
I'm not a blog reader either. I only read it on Sunday mornings when I'm on the show with him, and so I can tell him, hey, I saw what you wrote in your blog.
Although I will give a shout out to Mike Florio, because I was reading his blog.
A lot of man love with Florio lately.
During
you know?
The game, it was hysterical. It really is funny.
I like the one that said the players have to wear suits or something. I'll come. The head coaches can dress like a homeless guy.
One of the reasons. Let me get this straight. Coaches aren't allowed to wear suits on the sideline, but they can dress like bums. That's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
All right, Andy in Sioux City. Great game Monday night. My son and I were there, and I was surprised how many Pats fans I saw there. Maroney had a great game, like I had hoped, and I thought the game plan was awesome. The first couple of 3rd-and-10 conversions really let the air out of the dome, but I thought the play of the game was Maroney's kickoff return. The Vikings and the crowd looked like they gave up after that. What are the chances of coming up with a game plan to limit Peyton to a manageable number of points so we can win Sunday night? In my mind, we absolutely have to put pressure on him and take our chances.
What's the manageable number?
That's a good. He doesn't have that.
21, 24.
Yeah,
I would say.
It'd have to be under 24.
I think then there's an excellent chance that you can get him around 24. Now, if you're saying a manageable number is, you know, 13, I don't think that's realistic.
Now, so many games in the past, I remember Patriots playing the Colts. The thing was, you got to get pressure on Manning. But the Patriots don't necessarily seem to do that until they get the lead and Manning is pressed. Then they start to put pressure on. So it's not necessarily, is that the key to beating the Colts?
It was last year with Pittsburgh and San Diego.
They got to get him out of his
comfort zone.
But as far as the Patriots
there was a guy around here.
I
know you like to talk about the Patriots. You know who I talk about? A guy named Ty Law. Remember him? Because he was pretty good, and you could do a lot. You could create a lot of defenses around Ty Law. He's no longer here. So I think if you let Manning just sit back there all day, he's going to pick this defense apart. You have to do, you know, your Bantacanes. You got to get some pressure. You have to get some pressure.
Yeah, okay. Brian in L.A., after watching Marion Barber on Sunday night and then Maroney Monday night, I couldn't help but notice their similar physical style of running. Do you think this comes from the coaching they received at the University of Minnesota, their similar body types, or a combination of the two?
Well, Fred, you know the answer to that.
It's the coaching.
Yeah, we did a story in PFW. See, now this guy doesn't subscribe. Now he wants us to give him the information for free.
That's right. It'll cost $43.95
a year. I don't think that's fair. I talked to Vic Adamley, the running back coach at Minnesota, because I noticed the exact same thing. They dip their shoulder and they look for contact. And he told me that they have a Walter Payton drill where they encourage running backs, don't go out of bounds, don't go down to run over people like Payton used to do. And then he went in how he said how Payton was 209 pounds and look at the way he ran. And if you run with his toughness, it doesn't matter how big you are. You know, that's the kind of attitude you want. So I actually think if Barber had a little bit more speed, he would be a dominant NFL running back too, because that guy, he's a physical runner. He's just a tad slow, and he doesn't break off a lot of big runs, but they're both very physical when they run the football.
You see what type of freaking knowledge you get on this show?
Boy, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Now, you can go take that knowledge and go down to the sports bar and really sound like
a smartass. Talk about the Walter Payton drill in Minnesota.
And, you know, make it your own.
Right.
Go run with it.
Yeah, but let me add something to that. Just in terms of Maroney and the way he runs, and I think it's very interesting. I had someone come to me in the press box today and talk about his kickoff return, and they said, you know, and it's really strange that he's so explosive in the open field on those kickoff returns for a guy so big and powerful. He's not real big. And that's actually, it was the opposite coming out of school when he was in the draft. People were wondering if he was big enough to be an every down back. And now, you know, people have watched the way he runs,
exactly,
and people think that he's a big, powerful guy. Well, he is a powerful guy, but he's not that big.
He's not big. You see him in the locker room next to Corey Dillon, and there's no.
Oh God!
Yeah. I mean, they don't.
Dillon's
look anything.
A monster.
He's yeah. Now you're right, because you're talking about, you know, comparing.
But he runs with that physical.
A Mack truck
he runs with that physical right. Dillon style, though, like you were saying. But he's not nearly as big. I
he's
mean,
an
Dillon's
average. He's
bulldozer.
An average sized running
when
back.
When you combine
Lawrence
his speed with his power. That's an incredible
well,
combination.
That's why I think legal. He's going to be good, but don't tell that to Andy Hart.
Yeah.
He'll be on you for the next 3 months.
If you
months.
Let him say something first, then he'll be all right.
Keith is from Northeastern, Paul.
Oh, hey, Keith. How are you?
They have
tough
laptops
break.
At Northeastern?
Tough break this week. You had a chance to pull off the third straight upset.
And in my 7-4, we could have gotten it.
You had. I'm telling you right now, Tom, if they had won that game, you had a shot for your 7-4.
Keith says every time Steve Young spoke during the Pats game Monday night, he went on about how he couldn't believe the Vikings were playing single man safety all night and how he hasn't seen that coverage in years. He seemed to think this was the reason Brady was having so much success. Was he just referring to cover one?
Yes.
With one safety playing the deep middle and everyone else manned up? If this is the case, is it really that rare a coverage in the NFL today?
Yes, that's what he's referring to, is cover one with one safety deep. And Tom actually brought this up a lot, and I think he's 100% on point. When you spread the field the way the Patriots did for a lot of that game, he and Bill said after the game, by far and away the most that they have done that this year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
When you do that and you keep three linebackers on the field, it's very difficult to match up with the wide receivers, you know, and the receivers in general. I won't say just wide receivers because obviously Watson's involved in that. So if you're not going to change your personnel, you can't play cover two because you can't have two guys back safety. Someone's got to cover the five.
Yeah.
All you have to do is stand there, snap the ball, and throw it to an uncovered guy, and you got 10 yards. So you have to play that cover one. You have to move around. Now you have linebackers out on guys that they shouldn't be covering in the open field, and you only have one guy deep. Now, the one deep guy, I don't think that necessarily was a big problem because I don't think the Patriots had a lot of yards, but they didn't have a lot of deep balls to get those yards. They had, you know, in cuts, you know, to Doug Gabriel where there was no one within 20 yards of him.
Right.
And he ran for a 45-yard gain. I think Watson had a 40-some-odd yard gain as well, and it's a very similar kind of play. They just beat bad coverage all night long, and the receivers had big games, and Brady was, as usual, making all the right decisions.
And I will say one thing. Now, Childress, this is his first year as a head coach. Now, obviously he has to learn. He's not going to know everything in his sixth or seventh game. Now, if he went in and reamed that defensive coordinator and said, if I ever see that kind of coverage again when they're playing offense like that, if we're not prepared, then I'll give him some slack.
Right. But he may have.
Right. But if he thinks that what they did was right in any right. in any way,
he
he'll be fired in 2 years.
One of the blog postings in Florio said, Brad Childress looks like that guy you call when your computer won't start up.
He does.
Keith goes on, he says, I've heard a lot of people ripping Kornheiser, but I think Theismann is the one who has to go.
I actually think Theismann's the worst.
At the beginning of the game, he is saying the Vikings need to lock up Brad Johnson for the next several years because he has another 4 to 5 years of good football left in him. At the end of the game, he is saying the Vikings need to find a quarterback that can lead the team for the next 10 years.
Such an
idiot. Now, what's this guy's name? James?
Keith from Northeastern.
Keith, I've always wanted my shot at Theismann. And he was standing 5 feet from me, and I could have taken him out, but I chickened out.
You mean physically?
Yeah.
You just wanted to take
I don't think he can take me. I'm just saying
he's
that.
He's 60 years old.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to lose my job, but there he was, standing right there. I said,
hate him that much.
Oh, I hate him.
What he did to the Cowboys?
He didn't do nothing to the Cowboys.
Well, I don't know. Why do you hate him then?
Because I hate everything he says. It rubs me the wrong way.
He's just so over the top. Positive on everything, like y'all go back to your boy there, Fred Joey Florio. He calls him Joey Sunshine, and that's right. I mean, every play a quarterback makes, he says is a great read, and it's not this, it's not that, and I say that about all quarterbacks, even the ones. I mean, I've heard him say stuff about Brady and Manning and my guy Bledsoe, and I'm looking, I'm like, geez, you know, sometimes they don't do the right thing. It's not always the perfect read.
Right.
You know, and he's just so over-the-top positive, he can't be believed. It's like you when you're talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, I can't be believed. I say they're good. Boy, don't believe me. Andy in Sioux City says, one other thing, guys. When I was driving home yesterday, I was listening to Vikings radio, and they were talking to Antoine Winfield. They asked Winfield why they didn't go to a dime defense or try something else, and he basically said that they didn't have a dime defense and thought they could stop the Patriots with what they were doing. Hello? How many touchdowns do you have to see? It was laughable.
Yeah, it was.
Blame that on Winfield. That's the coach's fault. That's what Tom's talking about.
But, I mean, there you go. I mean, I found it hard to believe, but that's their own player saying they don't have a dime defense?
I didn't hear the radio interview, but that's not what he said post-game to Tom. So that certainly would contradict what they were wondering, why they didn't do different stuff, the players. And Childress said to Tom, we've had pretty good success doing what we've been doing all year, so we stuck with it.
And
it was stubbornness. He thought they weren't playing well when in fact the scheme was a problem.
Right.
It wasn't just they weren't playing well, they didn't have the right personnel on the field.
That's a good point, Paul, because I think I don't know if you guys remember this guy. Worst coach in any sport I've ever seen is Lou Tepper. He used to coach Illinois.
Yes.
He had coached a guy. Now, talk about a guy who looked like he fixed your computer. He had these beady little glasses. He was a defensive coordinator for LSU. Tim Couch, they played Kentucky, had 345 yards and 4 touchdowns at the half.
Oh, my God.
They asked Tepper if they were going to change anything up, and he says, it's not the scheme. The players aren't executing it.
We just got to cover them up. So, you know, I love coaches
that's
like that.
The
we just got to cover them up.
And then you wonder why Belichick out-coaches most of these guys.
Gerard is from URI. Freeney has been pretty quiet this year. What impact on the game do you think he'll have?
He's been very quiet.
He's been very quiet, but I don't know if you saw this, Paul. I haven't seen a lot of Colts games this year, but when I was watching the Denver, they were double-teaming him virtually every time, and he was still getting in there. He just wasn't getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't think his play has declined. I just think that with Simon out, with Rieger out, you know, with Mathis not having, he might have been kind of a one-year wonder on that other end. I think he's just facing double and triple teams, and he's just not getting there.
They actually, the little that I saw, which is about a quarter and a half, almost every pass, and admittedly, they didn't have many passes.
That's the other thing.
But almost every pass that they had good pressure from the outside. Mathis was in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The key third down that they ended up forcing a field goal to tie the game late, they had great pressure on Plummer, and he somehow managed to avoid the sack. But it caused an incomplete pass because he had to get rid of the ball so quickly.
But that's true. You have to take that into account. Teams are running the ball so much on him. I don't know if he has as many chances to sack the quarterback.
I haven't really seen,
he only
really
has
half a sack
all year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I haven't seen a lot of, highlights of him or just focused on him whether he's lost some quickness, guys have figured out his technique,
or
what?
I don't think so, because there was one play in the Denver game where two guys were on him, and he just bull rushed right through him, and he didn't get to the quarterback, but he rushed Plummer, and I was watching, and on a running play,
I was going to say,
the big play he made
against the run on Tatum Bell for a six-yard loss, I mean, unfortunately for Indy, Mike Bell got a ball the next play and ran 16 yards for a first down.
I just think it's a combination of teams are running the ball a lot on him, and the injuries along the line are probably hurting them because they can put more attention. I mean, when you got Corey Simon, he's, what, 340, 350? Unless you're Belichick, you got to double team him usually. So,
yep. Dave McKeegan is from Winnipeg. He says, our entry into the Twin Cities was stealth-like, and the Pats then pillaged the Vikings, and we danced in the streets. This was my first live Patriots game, and I've been a fan since 75. The town was electric. What an atmosphere on Monday night outside the stadium. It was out of sight. After watching Monday's game, I've come to the conclusion that Tom Brady is as good of a football player as Wayne Gretzky was a hockey player. That will make him the greatest football player of all time when his playing days come to an end. Tom sees and senses things that the average person is incapable of doing. Like Gretzky, he's not the biggest, fastest, or strongest, yet he is the greatest. He is football's great one. Gretzky and Brady are both humble guys that spread the accolades around, true team players. Thank goodness the Patriots were lucky enough to draft Tom Brady.
Okay, let's reel it in here. Paul, you remember last year when Belichick was showing us film of Joe Montana?
Yeah.
And he showed a play where they had the absolute perfect defense. They read everything right, and Montana still completed it for a first down. And Belichick was still so mad about it, he even swore when he was explaining it to us. So, you know, let's not go calling him the greatest player of all time, because you got Peyton, you got Rice, you got a lot of
Jim Brown,
guys I never saw. I don't like to comment on guys I didn't see play a lot. Yeah. So you've been a fan since 75. You've seen Montana, too. You know what kind of player he was.
There were some great players.
Don't get me wrong. Brady has that kind of what he's saying. But
everything he said about Brady, the player, I think, is accurate.
Right. But let's wait till his career is over before we start putting him in rankings.
Dan in Fairfax says, I have to say that Fred Smoot belongs in Tom's list of overrated players. I think his reputation as a good player came because he told everyone he was a good player for so long.
Might be true.
Right out of college, he was like that.
See, I miss his reputation, because I always thought that he was kind of one of those brash, overhyped cornerbacks. Like, I think Winfield's a solid player on the other side, although we didn't see that Monday night. But I never thought of Fred Smoot as being. Isn't he working on his third team?
Yeah, but here's my problem with Smoot. The book on him is that he struggles in, like, zone coverage, and he's better at man-to-man, up in your face. That's the kind of player that he is. So
I think he's one of those Terrell Buckley types. He makes a couple interceptions. He likes to talk well.
That's a very good analogy. But Buckley was more of a kind of in-your-face corner. So if you're going to have Fred Smoot playing back 15 yards, forget about it.
He had one good year in Washington when Champ Bailey was there to help him out. But when I watch him play, and I saw him a lot in D.C., he gets burned worse than my mother-in-law's cooking.
Ooh.
If Brian is still there when this gets read, welcome back, Brian. We had Brian Moore stop in to do a segment.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
I will say that in the Vikings press room, there was a couple reporters complaining about Fred Smoot.
Who would you rather be called?
So this was obviously not his first bad game of the year.
Zeus from Rancho Mirage, California. I was astounded to see how fast the players looked on Monday night, especially Caldwell. He looked as fast as Branch in open space. Do you guys think the poor footing at Gillette has forced these guys to hypercompensate and actually get faster?
Well, Caldwell isn't, I don't believe, in the same world as Branch when it comes to quickness and in the open field. So I actually made a comment before the...
They all look fast when no one's chasing them.
I made a comment before the game looking at the field. I said to Andy, I said, how do teams not score 30 points every time they play on here? Because the surface just looks fast when you look at it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say Caldwell is as fast as Deion Branch.
Dave from Connecticut. Guys, this game went much better than I could have anticipated. The receivers are starting to gel with Brady, and their confidence is growing. The defense is superb and getting better every game. Lawrence Maroney was the real deal in all phases of the game. Tom Brady looked at ease and confident. My kudos go to the offensive line for keeping Brady upright and giving him plenty of time to find the open receiver. The team is getting stronger every game. Let's keep it rolling. So just some comments from Dave. Hey, you know what? Let's get excited about this thing. This is good. Let's see. Carson is in Alaska. Sorry about that. Just a couple quick questions for you. Is the passing game as good as it looked on Monday, or was it just the competition?
I would say it's not as good as it looked on Monday because it looked perfect.
That's one of those performances.
I mean, if it is as good as it looked on Monday, let's get to Miami.
Cancel the rest of the season.
Yeah. Let's make our reservations on South Beach because where we're going.
And just so you know, I don't necessarily think that Indy's was as good as it looked on Sunday.
Right.
You know, where Peyton's going 32 of 39. You know, I mean, I want to be fair about it.
It's all about matchups, as Tom says.
Right, and you have certain times where you just everything is just falling into place. You have the perfect coverages, the perfect reads. Tom's on, the receivers are on. I don't necessarily think you can expect that kind of dominance every game.
It seemed like every also, what did you think about the play of Tully Bannacane? We talked about him. Prediction for Colts-Pats game, big game on the ground. I think Dylan and or Maroney will get it in the end zone three times. Pats put together 12 to 13 play drives, taking huge chunks off the clock. Being behind in the game, Peyton will try to force some plays and throw a couple picks. Brady passes for two TDs, one to Troy Brown for the record. Of course, the Colts will get their points. Final score, Patriots 34, Colts 21.
Well, unless Dylan's taking all the carries, you're not really going to be able to chew that kind of time off the clock because Maroney's just going to get 25, 30 yards. It's not like the Colts are giving up 4 yards here, 5 yards. They're giving up chunks of yardage.
They've given up more yards on the ground than they have through the air.
That's tough to do.
That is hard
in pro football.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to do.
Karen from Scituate, Rhode Island. Two questions. One, I am really concerned about Bill Belichick. Brian and Tom mentioned how ornery and foul he was at the press conference this morning. Even Tom Brady said on
Brian
the radio.
Brian mentioned that?
Brian Morey.
He mentioned that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even Tom Brady said on the radio yesterday that Bill seemed worn out after the game on Monday night. I know Bill is so mentally tough, but do you think the airing of some of his personal issues in the newspaper are taking their toll? He has never really had to deal with that in the past, or at least that I can remember. Look,
yes,
he's a parent, and I think that it does affect him. It has.
Unexcused.
I agree.
My fiance asked me something, and I laughed so hard I thought I'd pose it to you guys. She said, do you think Belichick would ever go around kissing players like Parcells did the other night?
What was that all about? What was that? Is he that thankful that they won a game that he's kissing people now?
Can you imagine Belichick going up
and kissing? It was odd behavior.
What's going on?
I know he's one of those guys that he loves his guys.
Right.
And he does. And I don't think that's an act. I think he loves his guys. I thought that was very odd behavior the other night. I thought he was over the top. Even the day after the Monday press conference when he was talking about how you don't have a lot of fun in this business, you know, this business of coaching. The losses stay with you and affect you a lot longer than the wins.
I love that crap.
But I'd sacrifice whatever he said, 2 years worth of the heartbreak for one night like last night. You know, it's just very, very, very odd behavior.
He's got some
very strange.
He has some Carolina complex. When they beat Carolina at home a couple years ago, he started crying at the press conference and said, "You can't call these guys losers anymore." Whenever he beats Carolina, he starts getting all teary eyed. I don't know what he's doing.
The other question from Karen is, what happened to the vaunted Minnesota offensive line? Were they that much overrated? The Patriots just handled them so well.
I don't know if they're overrated.
I didn't think the lines were really the difference in this game. I hear a lot of domination in both.
They
both
got the
lines.
Ball away quickly.
I thought the Patriots spread the field and the ball was out quick. So and the Vikings aren't known for their pass rush anyway.
Right.
They're known for run defense,
and they didn't even bother doing that.
And on the other side, you know, Brad Johnson was pressured a little and he got sacked once. Now, when the game was over and Brooks Bollinger went in the game, then it was, you know, look out below. They were blitzing and killing him. I think they sacked him on the first three plays.
You think Bill said, "I can't believe we get to face this guy some more"?
Yeah, I thought I didn't think I'd ever get another shot at him when he left the Jets, but I get to play him again. I thought the Patriots outplayed Minnesota on both lines. I don't want to miss him. I just didn't think that was really the key.
The one surprising thing would be Bannacane beating a player of McKinney's status.
Maybe he's a little overrated.
Pat from Ireland, I emailed in last week for the first time, and of course Andy took a few shots at me, but I still love the show, and I still like Andy. I think he is very entertaining, despite the fact that he has no football knowledge whatsoever.
That's a keeper, Gary.
I just like to say I have been on some other teams' websites, and I have to say that the Patriots website is clearly the best. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
And that's despite the fact that we have one of our guys that doesn't have any football knowledge.
Now, which one? You got to be Andy. More specific now.
You didn't hear what the guy said?
No, I thought you were talking about the person who's writing the stories.
Dan in St. Petersburg, Florida, if the Pats win this weekend, what do you anticipate their final record being for the season, without serious injury problems, of course? And do you think that will be enough for home field advantage throughout the playoffs?
Can't be any worse than 13-3, I don't think.
If they win this weekend? Yeah, probably.
If they want it. I mean, unless they rest guys at a certain point. I don't
see. I don't think that they're going to be in that. I think they're going to have to fight for a bye. So I don't think they're going to be in a position to be able to do what they did last year and dump a game.
I don't. Maybe if the game was in Chicago, the Bears would. I just don't see the Bears coming here winning that game. I mean, the Lions, the Texans, the Dolphins. Forget it.
Chicago coming off the third game of a three-game road trip is not going to come to Foxborough and beat the Patriots.
No way.
No chance.
Okay.
You heard it here, Fred. I'm already on record for that one.
Let's see. James is from Bagram, Afghanistan. It was great to see the Pats in prime time. I feel more and more optimism each week with the team as a whole. Belichick came up with a perfect game plan. Tom and the boys executed to perfection. The receiving corps played very well, making good adjustments on the few off-target throws. Big props to the O-line also, and the defense pitched a shutout. Great to see Seymour making an impact. To the next game, how do you see our pass defense stacking up against the Colts? If there is a softness, I see it as the mid-range, 12 to 17-yard routes. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah, I do think that. You can move the chains on the pitch. I'll tell you, even Minnesota did it early in the game. They moved the chains a little bit first couple of series. They moved the ball reasonably well in the first possession, and they punted. Then they got the turnover and got three first downs to get down to the goal line, and Brad Johnson threw the interception. So I do think you can move the ball a little bit when the Patriots don't get a lot of pressure on the passer.
And the one thing I'll point out in this game to watch, I don't think the Patriots are a very good tackling football team. I've seen a lot of whiffs and missed tackles, and you do that against the Colts receivers, you can turn a short gain into a long one.
Okay. Let's see. Frank is from Tennessee. He says, I saw Belichick's presser today on Patriots.com, and he seemed extremely sullen in contrast to his usual Wednesday attitude, which has been a lot more upbeat. Any info why that is? We talked about it. It could be some things going on. Plus, he wanted to come out making sure people didn't ask him questions about Adam Vinatieri because he doesn't had no interest in talking about it. I listened to you on the internet from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, born and raised in Stoneham, Mass. I've been here for 13 years and love being able to hear New England sports talk all the way down here. Well, good. We're glad that we can supply it.
Sure.
Let's see. Michael in Texas, I asked PFW in progress before, but you didn't know. What does Tom drive? What kind of car does Tom drive?
An Escalade.
I don't think he drives that.
He doesn't have that anymore?
No, he drives a Range Rover, and he has a smaller car, too. I think a Mercedes and a Range Rover.
What do you do with his Escalade?
The kid in sales is driving it. I'm not kidding. Right? Isn't that right, Gary?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Peter, Hungary, Budapest. I'm still a big fan of PFW in progress, and I am still amused by Tom's knowledge about the league.
Hungary, Budapest?
Hungary. My question would be a common NFL one, not a Patriots-specific one. I would like to ask you why teams with relatively good running backs and weak tight ends don't use more than six lineman set. I talk about teams like the Broncos, Bills, Bears, Lions, Seahawks, Bengals. Is that not allowed, or what is the drawback to it?
For what?
A six-lineman set.
It's allowed.
Well, tight end is basically alignment.
Yeah, those teams like the Broncos usually have a blocking tight end.
I was going to say, how do you know that they don't have a good tight end? Because he doesn't catch a lot of passes?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a tight end when he's in there is your sixth lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Plus, you have to worry about covering him in case he goes. If you put a tackle in there, another tackle, they know you're going to run the football. Right.
Unless you call him eligible.
Right. But no one, who cares?
Right. If you want to throw the ball to your tackle in the middle of the field, you go right ahead. Right. That's what NFL defenses would do. Now, down on the goal line, it's different. All you have to do is catch the ball, and the play's over.
Right, good. Peter says, P.S., we have a registered fan club of the Patriots in Hungary, and because of the live TV coverage here, the NFL is really coming after the soccer when it comes to popularity. Considering that 67 years ago, nobody even knew the rules, that's big. That is pretty cool. Think about that. Hungary, NFL's like number two.
We're not going there.
We might.
We're not.
You don't want to go to Budapest?
Rather than China.
Next question.
They've got all those places where you can smoke your hashish.
Fred, why don't you tell me we're going to Toronto? And I'll tell you I don't want to go there either. I didn't want to go to Minnesota.
Then that's when I smoke.
No. I've seen enough cities now. I've been here 2 years. It's time to rein it in.
I've been to Buffalo.
that was enough to ruin me forever. I don't want to go anywhere else.
Bob from Montreal, longtime Pats fan. Good job in your breakdown of this week's upcoming game against the Colts. Will the Pats have a good enough rush to stop Manning the choke?
Nah, I don't even want to talk about that.
You don't think he chokes?
No,
I think Manning has a good game, whether they win or lose.
Let's see. Frank writes in, just want a comment or two about the incomplete pass and the general replay comments that were made. First, the refs do have access to what we see. That was changed 2 years ago when this first came up. Well, that's not what they said on Sirius yesterday, so they could be wrong on Sirius.
I think Pat Kerwin's wrong if he was saying they don't watch these.
I heard the same thing, but if they changed it.
He said they're watching what they call, quote-unquote, a line feed.
I heard the same thing. They don't see all the angles and everything.
I'm not talking about the amount of different angles they get, but I can't imagine that they don't get to see plays in slow motion.
The different angle could be all the difference.
But I'm talking about slow motion.
Yeah, that I can't believe.
I can't. No, I absolutely can't fathom they have instant replay and don't actually provide instant replays.
Right. Second, the reason the call of an incomplete pass was upheld was that Wiggins did not make any football move after gaining control of the football.
Listen, we don't need you to read the record.
We know what the rule is.
Yeah, we know what the rule is. It was a stupid call.
It was a ludicrous call.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, so let me give him his piece.
By any definition.
He took the time to write in. Let me read it.
I don't care.
Remember that just having both feet down does not constitute a football move. When he initially caught the ball, he got both feet down, and then before he made any football move, took a step, he bobbled the ball when trying to bring it down.
Untrue.
It's very brief, however. Both hands do come off the ball. Because of this step, he takes is just reestablishing his presence in bounds and is not a football move. Unfortunately, no further steps were taken, and the ball was stripped as he went down, thus the call of an incomplete pass.
That's
Don't get me wrong.
Untrue.
I think it should have been a complete pass as well. However, strictly by the rule books, much as the tuck rule call, it wasn't, and that's what the refs were going by.
I'll tell you what.
Sign Mike Pereira.
That's an inaccurate description.
I'll tell you
of
what.
That
send
play.
Us that same email if it happens to the Patriots in a big game, because I bet you it'll be a lot different.
And I want to say again, to our fans' credit, a couple of our SPFW guys wrote in saying how bad they thought some of the calls were against Minnesota and that play in general.
Well, there was one defensive pass or illegal touching. That was just ridiculous.
Well, that was
the Travis Taylor one.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I mean,
was
if
that
you
bad.
Can't do that,
it took a first down away on offense, on Travis Taylor for barely even touching Chad Scott, and they gave a first down to the Patriots on an illegal contact downfield and a ball that was thrown about 25 yards out of bounds. And the flag did not come until the ball had already hit the ground, and they called it illegal contact.
And
a lot of people are suggesting that Belichick did some type of mind trick.
This guy's talking about football. Tell me what a football move is. Yeah. Three steps? Because the guy took three steps.
He took more than three steps.
The ball wasn't bobbled or coming out. He was, like you said, Paul, it's either a fumble, a catch and a fumble, or it's a catch. It wasn't an incomplete pass. No way.
He was even close to down by contact before he lost the ball. I'll tell you, it was as bad a call. And when you see replays like that and you don't have them overturned, you wonder why they have replay at all.
And this is like the person who emailed into me and said Haynesworth took the helmet off the guy. Do you have it on tape? Watch it. He didn't bobble nothing. I don't understand what these people are watching.
All right. Well, that's going to pretty much do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. There's a lot of emails we did not get to, and I guess John will take care of them, huh? John Rook is coming in for Patriots Playbook.
He does it all.
So
a little closer than we thought there, John, huh? The Texas game?
I didn't know which game he was talking about for a second. I know. Yeah, the Texas game a little bit closer than we thought.
Too many injuries.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. Defensive line.
Your USC loss.
Offensive line. USC loss. Yeah, but they still didn't move up in the BCS.
I know.
I mean, how bad is that?
Thoroughly unimpressed.
You're telling me,
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech played out of their minds. Did you see any of the game at all?
I watched a lot of the game.
Yeah. You can tell that quarterback's starting to get a little bit better now.
He's only a sophomore, so by the time he's a senior, he'll be another Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, John,
another guy who can't play.
Yeah, probably.
The Patriots have their own credit card. They've got gridiron grillers.
Yes.
In anticipation of this February, we're coming out with Patriots sunscreen.
Nice.
We're going to need it because we're all going to Miami.
Nice.
All right.
Does that mean I get to go too?
You coming?
I will go. If you guys want me to be there this year, I'll be there.
Yeah, maybe you know how Fred. You know how Fred takes things week to week.
I called it back in August, but
hell no.
That's besides the point.
What August was that?
Everyone.
August of 95.
Yeah, I've been right 3 out of 5 years. So
you'll have to clear this with my other boss in there, Fred.
Okay. Well, maybe we can figure out a role for you. But anyway, John Rooks
coming
up
on our trip to China. If you'd
Patriots
like
Patriots playbook.
Woohoo!
Stay tuned for that.
Staff writer.